Harih
Om.
Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 15, The Lord Accepts Prasadam at the House of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Page 81. Conclusion. When Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the center, everyone can engage in different activities for the service of the Lord. 132 purport. The Vedas enjoin Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Brahman or Parabrahman. Parasya Brahmana Shaktis Tateidam Akilam Jagat. Everything is a manifestation of the energy of the Supreme Brahman. Since the energy and the energetic are identical, accurately, everything is Krishna, Parabrahman. Krishna is spread throughout the whole universe in his impersonal form. Since everything is a manifestation of the Lord's energy, the Lord can manifest himself through any energy. Because it's all him, so where he wants to appear, he can, you know, appear to us, because it's all him anyway. 135 per point. A Vaishnava may be engaged in governmental service or in a professional business so that externally one cannot understand his position. Internally, however, he may be a Nitya Siddha Vaishnava. That is, an eternally liberated Vaishnava. Externally, Mukunda Das was a royal physician, but internally he was the most liberated Paramahamsa devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew this very well. But ordinary men could not understand it, for the activities and plans of a Vaishnava cannot be understood by ordinary men. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representative understood everything about a devotee. Understand everything about a devotee. Even though the devotee may externally pretend to be an ordinary householder and professional businessman. 120 per point. One person worships in the temple, another earns money honestly by executing his professional duty, and yet another preaches Krishna consciousness with the devotees. Apparently, these three types of service appear separate, but actually they are not. When Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the center, everyone can engage in different activities for the service of the Lord. That is the verdict of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the point we can see is all these different devotees and all that, then they can all be connected to the Lord, even though they have such different kind of backgrounds, approaches, and everything. Everyone's is unique. But that's the point, is Krishna has unlimited energies. And so then these various devotees, then they can be engaged according to their natural nature. And everything's reconciled in the Lord. Right? So there's no difficulty. Because otherwise you may say, oh, it's just temple service, or oh, it's preaching, or they're doing business, or, you know, some professional activity. But it's about, if one is absorbed in Krishna, then everything's very, very nice. Right? That's the point. When he's the center, so that's the point. Sambandha Gyan means how Krishna is the center of all relationships. Yeah. Chapter 16, the Lord's attempt to go to Vrindavan. Pratigya. One who is situated in the disciplic succession can be understood by the result of his activities. Adhyaya Prakashika. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following summary of this chapter in his Amrita Prabaha Bhashya. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya indirectly presented many obstructions. In due course of time, all the devotees of Bengal visited Jagannath Puri for the third year. This time, all the wives of the Vaishnavas brought many types of food, intending to extend invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. When the devotees arrived, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his blessings in the form of garlands. In that year also, the Gundicha temple was cleansed, and when the Chaturmasi period was over, all the devotees returned to their homes in Bengal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade Nityananda to visit Nilachal every year. Questions by the inhabitants of the Kulinagra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again repeated the symptoms of a Vaishnava. Vidyanidhi also came to Jagannath Puri and saw the festival of Odan Shasti. When the devotees bade farewell to the Lord was determined to go to Vrindavan, and on the day of Vijayadasami, he departed. Maharaj Prataparudra made various arrangements for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's trip to Vrindavan. When he crossed the river Chitrotpala, Ramananda Rai, Mardharaja, and Harichandana went with him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Garadhar Pandit to return to Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, but he did not abide by his order. From Katak, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again requested Garadhar Pandit to return to Neelachala, and he bade farewell to Ramananda Rai from Bhadrak. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crossed the border of Orissa State, and he arrived at Panihati by boat. Thereafter, he visited the house of Raghav Pandit, and from there he went to Kumarahatta, and eventually to Kulia, where he excused many offenders. From there he went to Ramakeli, where he saw Sri Rup and Sanatan, accepted them as his chief disciples. Returning from Ramakeli, he met Raghunath Das, and after giving him instructions, sent him back home. Thereafter, the Lord returned to Neelachal and began to make plans to go to Vrindavan without a companion. It's, I guess, the first time it's not working so good. Shloka Anusharana.
When you say Kuriya, and Kuriya means Navadvip?
I'm not sure if that's there or where that is. Is it Kuliya's Navadvip?
Because Kuriya is on the way to Shinkit.
Yeah, it would be farther that side, because generally he wouldn't be coming back here again. You know, I mean, if it is, it's that side of the river, not this side.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This was Navadvip. That was something else. Mm-hmm. Then the Smartas, then they made that Navadvip, and this something else.
Yes.
Verses 1 to 86. The Bengali Vaishnav's third annual pilgrimage to Jagannath Puri. 87 to 155. The Lord's attempt to go to Vrindavan. 156 to 202. Crossing the border. 203 to 251. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits his devotees in West Bengal. 252 to 290. The Lord makes a new plan to travel to Vrindavan without a crowd. Verses 1 to 86. The Bengali Vaishnava's third annual pilgrimage to Jagannath Puri. By the nectar of his personal glance, the cloud, known as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, poured water upon the garden of Godadesh and revived the people, who were like creepers and plants burning in the forest fire of material existence. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan, and Maharaj Prataparudra became very morose upon hearing this news. The king thereafter called for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai, and he spoke the following submissive words to them. Prataparudra Maharaj said, "Please endeavor to keep Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here at Jagannath Puri, for now he is thinking of going elsewhere. Without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this kingdom is not pleasing to me. Therefore, please try to devise some plan to enable the Lord to stay here." After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself consulted Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, saying, "I shall go to Vrindavan." Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested the Lord to first observe the Rath Yatra festival. Then, when the month of Kartik arrived, he could go to Vrindavan. However, when the month of Kartik came, they both told the Lord, "Now it is very cold. It is better that you wait to see the Dol Yatra festival and then go." You know, that means after Gaur Purnima. And then it'll be too hot, right? That will be very nice. In this way, they both presented many impediments, indirectly not granting the Lord permission to go to Vrindavan. They did this because they were afraid of separation from him. Although the Lord is completely independent and no one can check him, he still did not go without the permission of his devotees. Then, for the third year, all the devotees of Bengal wanted to return again to Jagannath Puri. All the Bengali devotees gathered around Advaitacharya, and in great jubilation, the Acharya departed for Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the Lord told Nityananda Prabhu to stay in Bengal and spread ecstatic love of God, Nityananda left to go see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who can understand Nityananda Prabhu's ecstatic love? All the devotees of Navadvip departed, including Acharya Ratna, Vidyanidhi, Srivatsa, Ramai, Vasudeva, Murari, Govinda and his two brothers, and Raghava Pandit, who took bags of assorted foods. The inhabitants of Kulinagram, carrying silken ropes, also departed. Narahari and Sri Raghunath, who were from the village of Kanda, and many other devotees also departed. Who can count them? Shivananda Sen, who was in charge of the party, made arrangements to clear the tax-collecting centers. He took care of all the devotees and happily traveled with them. Shivananda Sen took care of all the necessities of the devotees required. In particular, he made arrangements for residential quarters. And he knew the roads of Orissa. That year, all the devotees' wives, Takaranis, also went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sita Devi, the mother of Achyutananda, went with the Dvaitacharya. Srivas Pandit also took his wife, Malini. And the wives of Shivananda Sen also went with her husband. Chaitanya Das, the son of Shivananda Sen, also jubilantly accompanied them as they went to see the Lord. The wife of Chandrasekhara, Acharya Ratna, also went. I cannot describe the greatness of Chandrasekhara's love for the Lord. To offer Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu various types of food, all the wives of the great devotees brought from home various dishes that pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As stated, Shivananda Sen made all arrangements for the party's necessities. In particular, he pacified the men in charge of the levying taxes and found resting places for everyone. Because that'll be a whole thing. Oh, you're coming with so many people, it'll be this much. No, this, that, and then, you'll have to do all that stuff. Shivananda Sen also supplied food to all the devotees and took care of them along the way. In this way, feeling great happiness, he went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. When they all arrived at Ramuna, they went to see Lord Gopinath. In the temple there, Advaitacharya danced and chanted. All the priests of the temple had been previously acquainted with Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, they all came to offer great respects to the Lord. That night, all the great devotees remained in the temple, and the priests brought 12 pots of condensed milk, which they placed before Nityananda Prabhu. When the condensed milk was placed before Nityananda Prabhu, he distributed the prasadam to everyone, and thus everyone's transcendental bliss increased. They then all discussed the short story of Sri Madhavendra Puri's installation of the Gopal Deity, and they discussed how Gopal begged sandalwood from him. It was Gopinath who stole condensed milk for the sake of Madhavendra Puri. This incident had previously been related by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. This same narration was again related by Lord Nityananda to all the devotees, and their transcendental bliss increased as they heard the story again. Walking and walking in this way, the devotees arrived at the city of Cuttack, where they remained for a day and saw the temple of Sakshi Gopal. When Nityananda Prabhu described all the activities of Sakshi Gopal, transcendental bliss increased in the minds of all the Vaishnavas. Footnote 23. These activities have been described in Madhya Lila, chapter 5, verses 8 to 138. Everyone in the party was very anxious at heart to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, they hastily went on to Jagannath Puri. When they all arrived at a bridge called Ataran Nala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing the news of their arrival, sent two garlands with Govinda. Govinda offered the two garlands to Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu. And they both became very happy. Indeed, they began chanting the holy name of Krishna on that very spot. And in this way, dancing and dancing, the Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu reached Jagannath Puri. Then for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent garlands to Swarup Damodar and other personal associates. Thus they went forward, sent by the son of Mother Sachi. When the devotees from Bengal reached Lake Narendra, Swarup Damodar and the others met them and offered them the garlands given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the devotees finally reached the Lion Gate, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the news and personally went to meet them. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his devotees visited Lord Jagannath. Finally, accompanied by them all, he returned to his own residence. Vaninath Rai and Kashi Mishra then brought a large quantity of prasadam, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed it with his own hand and fed them all. In the previous year, everyone had his own particular residence, and the same residences were again offered. Thus, they all went to take rest. For four continuous months, all the devotees remained there and enjoyed chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As in the previous year, they all washed the Gundicha temple when the time for Rath Yatra arrived. The inhabitants of Kulinagram offered silken ropes to Lord Jagannath, and, as previously, they all danced before the Lord's cart. After dancing a great deal, they all went to a nearby garden and took rest beside a lake. A brahmana named Krishnadas, who was a resident of Radhadesh and a servant of Lord Nityananda's, was a very fortunate person. It was Krishnadas who filled a great water pot and poured it over the Lord while he was taking his bath. The Lord was greatly satisfied by this. The remnants of food offered to the Lord at Balagandhi then arrived in great quantity, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his devotees ate it. Footnote 24. Balagandhi is one of the places that Lord Jagannath stopped his car during the Rath Yatra festival. It is near the quarters where Brahmins live. Because okay, if you stop there, then all the Brahmins can bring out and make their offerings and everything. As in the previous year, the Lord with all the devotees saw the Rath Yatra festival and the Harapanchami festival as well. Dwaitacharya then extended an invitation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there was a great rainstorm connected with that incident. All these episodes have been elaborately described by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Then one day, Srivas Thakur extended an invitation to the Lord, Srila Prabhupada. The Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyakanda, Chapter 9, gives the following description. One day, Srila Dwaitacharya, having extended an invitation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thought that if the Lord came alone, he would feed him to his great satisfaction. It then so happened that when the other sannyasis were going to Dwaitacharya's to take lunch, there was a big rainstorm and they could not reach his house. Thus, according to Dwaitacharya's desires, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came alone and accepted the prasadam. Yeah. The Lord's favorite vegetables were cooked by Malini Devi, the wife of Srivas Thakur. She devotedly considered herself a maidservant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in affection she was just like a mother. All the chief devotees, headed by Chandrasekhara, Acharya Ratna, used to extend invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu periodically. At the end of the four-month Chaturmasi period, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again consulted with Nityananda Prabhu, daily in a solitary place. No one could understand what their consultation was about. Then Srila Dwaitacharya said something to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through gestures and read some poetic passages, which no one understood. Seeing the face of Dwaitacharya, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled. Understanding that the Lord had accepted the proposal, Advaitacharya started to dance. No one knew what Advaitacharya requested or what the Lord ordered. After embracing the Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade him farewell. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Nityananda Prabhu, "Please hear me, O holy man. I now request something of you. Kindly grant my request. Do not come to Jagannath Puri every year, but stay in Bengal and fulfill my desire." Wow. Impressive, huh? Srila Prabhupada, the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to spread the only medicine effective in this fallen age of Kali, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Following the orders of his mother, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing at Jagannath Puri, and the devotees were coming to see him. However, the Lord felt that this message must be spread very elaborately in Bengal, and in his absence there was not a second person capable of doing it. Consequently, the Lord requested Nityananda Prabhu to stay there and broadcast the messages of Krishna consciousness. The Lord also entrusted a similar preaching responsibility to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Nityananda Prabhu was requested not to come every year to Jagannath Puri, although seeing Lord Jagannath greatly benefits everyone. Does this mean that the Lord was refusing Nityananda Prabhu a fortunate opportunity? No. One who is a faithful servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must execute his order, even if one has to sacrifice going to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Jagannath there. In other words, it is a great fortune to carry out Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order than to satisfy one's senses by seeing Lord Jagannath. And so performing the service that one's given to please the Lord is more important than whatever it is that you feel will make be pleasing. You know? So then you have to see that that's done. So if you've been given, you know, some service to do, you do that. Otherwise, if you stop that for something else, even though it's also service, but the point is that doing that particular service, that will please the Lord. That's how you're going to get your best benefit.
Mm-hmm. In 1976, Book Lima, all the devotees came from America, went on walk to Prabhupada and then Prabhupada turned around and said, "Where's Prabhupada?" He wondered what he said. He stepped back in America distributing the books. He said, "He's on the walk."
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult throughout the world is more important than staying in Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri for one's own personal satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Spreading Krishna consciousness is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Therefore, his sincere devotees must carry out his desire. Prithivite ache jato nagaradi gram sarvatara prachar hoibe mornam. Devotees of Lord Chaitanya must preach Krishna consciousness in every village and town in the world. That will satisfy the Lord. It is not that one should act whimsically for his own personal satisfaction. This order comes down through the parampara system, and the spiritual master presents these orders to the disciple so that he can spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the duty of every disciple to carry out the order of the bona fide spiritual master and spread Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world. 2.16.65. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "You can perform a task that even I cannot do, but for you I cannot find anyone in Gaudadesh who can fulfill my mission there." Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya's mission is to deliver the fallen souls of this age. In this age of Kali, practically 10% of the population has fallen. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certainly delivered many fallen souls, but his disciples mainly came from the upper classes. For example, he delivered Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and many others who were socially elevated but fallen from the spiritual point of view. Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis were situated in government service, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the topmost scholar of India. Similarly, Prakashananda Saraswati was a leader of many thousands of Mayavadi sannyasis. It was Srila Nityananda Prabhu, however, who delivered persons like Jagai and Madhai. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, "Amara dushkara karma, tomara hoite hai." Jagai and Made were delivered solely by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. When they injured Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya became angry and decided to kill them with the Sudarshan Chakra. But Nityananda Prabhu saved them from the Lord's wrath and delivered them. In the incarnation of Gornitai, the Lord is not supposed to kill demons, but is supposed to deliver them by preaching Krishna consciousness. In the case of Jagai Madai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so angry that he would have immediately killed them. But Nityananda Prabhu was so kind that he not only saved them from death, but elevated them to the transcendental position. Thus, what was not possible for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was carried out by Nityananda Prabhu. Similarly, if one is true to Gornitai's service in the disciplic succession, he can even excel Nityananda Prabhu's service. This is the process of disciplic succession. Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai. but a servant of Nityananda Prabhu, by his grace, can deliver many thousands of Jagai Madhais. That is the special benediction of this disciplic succession. One who is situated in the disciplic succession can understand by the result of his activities. This is always true as far as the activities of the Lord and his devotees are concerned. Therefore, Lord Shiva says, Aradhanam sardeshan vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tariyanam samarchanam. Of all types of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is best. And better than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotee, the Vaishnava, Padma Purana. By the grace of Vishnu, a Vaishnava can render better service than Vishnu. That is the special prerogative of the Vaishnava. The Lord actually wants to see his servants work more gloriously than himself. For instance, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Sri Krishna provoked Arjuna to fight because all the warriors on the battlefield were to die by Krishna's plan. Krishna himself did not want to take credit. Rather, he wanted Arjuna to take credit. Therefore, he asked him to fight and win fame. Tasmat tvam utishta yasho labdhasva jitva shatrun vungshva rajam samriddham mayai vaite nihita purvam eva nimita matram bhava savya sachin. Therefore, get up, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. Bhagavad Gita 11:33. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives credit to a devotee who performs any heavy task perfectly. Hanumanji, or Vajrangaji, the servant of Lord Ramachandra, gives us another example. It was Hanumanji who jumped over the sea in one leap and reached the shore of Lanka from the shore of Bharatvarsha. When Lord Ramachandra chose to go there, he paved the way with stones, although by his will the stones were able to float on the sea. If we simply follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and follow in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, this Krishna consciousness movement can advance. An even more difficult task can be performed by the preachers remaining faithful to the service of the Lord. 2:16, 66-67. Nityananda Prabhu replied, O Lord, you are the life and I am the body. There is no difference between the body and life itself, but life is more important than the body. By your inconceivable energy, you can do whatever you like. And whatever you make me do, I do without restriction. Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye, Srimad Bhagavatam 111. Lord Brahma is the first living creature within this universe, and he is also the creator of this universe. How is this possible? Although he is the first living entity, Lord Brahma is not in the category of Vishnu Tattva. Rather, he is part of the Jiva Tattva. Nonetheless, by the grace of the Lord who instructed him through the heart, Tene Brahma Harida, Lord Brahma could create a huge universe. Those who are actually pure devotees of the Lord are instructed by the Lord through the heart, where the Lord is always situated. Ishwara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesher Junatishtati. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. If he follows the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, even though an insignificant creature, can perform the most difficult task by the Lord's grace. Lord Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Everything is possible for a pure devotee because he acts under the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through his inconceivable energy, a pure devotee can perform tasks that are supposed to be very, very difficult. He can perform tasks not even previously performed by the Lord himself. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ye karaha se kari Nahika Niyama. I do not know by what regulative principle I am carrying out this wonderful work, but I know that, I know for certain that I will do whatever you desire. Although the Lord wants to give all credit to his devotee, the devotee himself never takes credit, for he acts only under the Lord's direction. Consequently, all credit goes to the Lord. This is the nature of the relationship between the Lord and his devotee. The Lord wants to give credit to his servant, but the servant does not take any credit, for he knows that everything is carried out by the Lord. 2:16, 68-72. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Nityananda Prabhu and bade him farewell. He then bade farewell to all the other devotees. As in the previous year, one of the inhabitants of Kulinagram submitted a petition to the Lord, saying, "My Lord, kindly tell me what my duty is and how I shall execute it." The Lord replied, "You should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet." The inhabitants of Kulinagram said, "Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are." Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and gave the following reply. "A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet." Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura says that any Vaishnavas continuously chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second platform of Vaishnavism. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte Vaishnava who has just learned to chant the holy name. Holy name of the Lord. A neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called a Madhyama Bhagavat, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Generally, a devotee in the intermediate stage becomes a preacher. A neophyte devotee or an ordinary person should worship the Mahabhagavat, who is a via media. In his Upadeshamrita 5, Srila Rupa Goswami says, "Pranatibhis cha bhajantam isham." This means that Madhyamadhikari devotees should exchange obeisances between themselves. The word nirantara means without cessation, continuously, constantly, is very important in this verse. The word antara means interval. If one has desires other than a desire to perform devotional service, in other words, if one sometimes engages in devotional service and sometimes strives for sense gratification, his service will be interrupted. A pure devotee, therefore, should have no desire other than to serve Krishna. He should be above the fruit of activity and speculative knowledge. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Srila Rupa Goswami says, "Anyavilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavditam anakulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama." This is the platform of pure devotional service. One should not be motivated by fruit of activity or mental speculation, but should simply serve Krishna favorably. That is first-class devotion. Right, so that's the quality of the devotion. The level of realization is also there. So you can say first class means that it's on the platform of purity. Then they may be, as we saw before, the neophyte, but he's constantly chanting. Then that's the Madhyama. And then the Uttama, then he has that realization of that attraction to the Lord. Does that make sense? So the first class can mean the quality of this service. You know, like that. It means, of course, your Uttamadhikari is going to be first-class devotion and the everything else, the realization, everything. But that first class can also be on other levels. Another meaning of antara is this body. The body is an impediment to self-realization because it is always engaged in sense gratification. Similarly, antara means money. If money is not used in Krishna's service, it is also an impediment. Antara also means janata, people in general. The association of ordinary persons may destroy the principles of devotional service. Similarly, antara may mean greed to acquire more money or enjoy more sense gratification. Finally, the word antara can also mean atheistic ideas, by which one considers the temple deity to be made of stone, wood, or gold. All of these are impediments. The deity in the temple is not material. He is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Similarly, considering the spiritual master an ordinary human being, Gurushu Nara Mati, is also an impediment. Nor should one consider a Vaishnava a member of a particular caste or nation. Nor should a Vaishnava be considered material. Charanamrita should not be considered ordinary drinking water, and the holy name of the Lord should not be considered an ordinary sound vibration. Nor should one look on Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being, for he is the origin of all Vishnu tattvas. Nor should one regard the Supreme Lord as a demigod, intermingling the spiritual with the material causes one to look on transcendence as material and the mundane as spiritual. This is all due to a poor fund of knowledge. One should not consider Lord Vishnu and things related to him as being different. All this is offensive. You see, it's an interesting thing is that they'll say about the deity is not important, this, but then material activities they do, they'll say those are spiritual. You know, just sitting and being peaceful, doing some meditating like this, and then that's all spiritual, which is, well, it's mundane. And then they take the spiritual things and say the material. Mm-hmm. All this is offensive. In the Bhakti Sandarbha 265, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, Namaikam yasya vachi smarana patam, no, pata gatam, ityadau deha dravinadi nimittaka pashanda shabdena chadasha aparadha lakshante pashanda mayatvat tesham. In the verse beginning namaikam yasya, we find the word pashanda, godlessness. The word literally indicates misuse of one's body or property. But in that verse, it implies the 10 offenses against the Lord's holy name, since each of these leads to such godless behavior. Right, so that's why the Prabhupada very nicely then explained everything by the 10 offenses. Then. The Mayavadis look on Vishnu and Vaishnavas imperfectly due to their poor fund of knowledge, and this is condemned. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11:2-46, the intermediate Vaishnava is described as follows. Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu dvishachucha prema maitri kripo peksha ya karoti sa madhyamaha. The intermediate Vaishnava has to love God, make friends with the devotees, instruct the innocent, and reject jealous people. These are the four functions of the Vaishnava in the intermediate stage. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22:64, Sri Sanatana Goswami is taught, Shraddhavan janahai bhakti adhikari uttama madhyam kanista shraddha anusari. One who is faithful is a proper candidate for devotional service. In terms of one's degree of faith in devotional service, one is first class, second class, or neophyte Vaishnava. Shastra yukti nahi jane dridha shradhavan madhyama adhikari se maha bhagyavan. One who has attained the intermediate stage is not very advanced in shastric knowledge, but he has firm faith in the Lord. Such a person is very fortunate to be situated on the intermediate platform. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22:67. Rati prema tara tamye bhakta tara tama. Attraction and love for God are the ultimate goal of devotional service. The degrees of such attraction and love distinguish the different stages of devotion: neophyte, intermediate, and perfectional. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22:71. An intermediate devotee is greatly attracted to chanting the holy name. By chanting, he is elevated to the platform of love. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas, and Krishna himself. Thus, the intermediate Vaishnava considers himself Krishna Das, Krishna's servant. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent neophytes and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotee or motivated devotee. the motivated devotee or the non-devotee, are on the material platform, and they are called prakriti. The intermediate devotee does not mix with such materialistic people. However, he understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything related to him are on the same transcendental platform. Actually, none of them are mundane. Right? That. So they're not, but it's not favorable for devotional service. Right? It's just like you associate, it means you associate with the material energy around you, and even though all these living entities are maybe on the in material consciousness, they don't distract your attention. But if someone is going to behave badly or speak badly and all that, then that makes it just not worth being in their association.
But Maharaj, you already said that Pratyekabhata is a motivated devotee or non-devotee.
Yes.
So we can understand that in the beginning of spiritual life, to develop bhakti, there is some motivation behind, not always pure bhakti.
Yes.
So, why it is said on the same platform, non-devotee and...
Because the values are the same. They have the same values. Though the devotee has taken up devotional service. And so, see, as you're looking at it from the point of trying to see exactly where everything is in position. But as far as someone takes up the chanting, that's glorious and everything. But see, it must be, because if there's not the element of being devotees, then why would the madhyamas associate with them? That's why there's a difference between the innocent and the inimical.
Yes.
So in other words, they may have material contamination, but they're innocent, then that's worth giving association.
Yes.
But if they have that material mentality, but they're not innocent, then you avoid their association.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, how would the neophytes advance? Does that make sense? So, giving that special attention, because the Uttamas wouldn't give that special attention, because they deal everybody as servant of the Lord. So if you happen to bump into them, they'll deal with you nicely, but then they'll move on, while the Madhyamas will cultivate the innocent. You know what I'm saying? That's why then the Uttamadhikaris, they come to the Madhyama platform to preach, because then you can cultivate and do all those things. So the whole point is it's there to give the inspiration and all that, but at the same time, things are put into a perspective, because we like somehow or another, we very much appreciate time and space.
Yes.
And so then that puts it in perspective that we don't become too proud. Otherwise, then we begin to take up speculation and all these other kinds of things, which is not useful, right? Because it's not part of our process, right? For others, it's part of their process. You know, that the dealing with the karma or dealing with the jnana, those positions and all that. And you see from that, when they come to the point of realization of the Lord, it will always be in majesty.
Yeah.
Right? So if it has the aspect of devotional service mainly through the karma or through the jnana, where it's prominent, or a mixture of both, they'll all end up in majesty.
Yeah.
It's only through the understanding of spontaneous devotional service, then you end up with sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
And then those who have that majesty with a touch of sweetness, they then Dwarka and Mathura.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So, so that's the point, is that we may be following the path of Vaidhi, but it's the path to attain to spontaneous devotional service. So that's why for us, then we follow all the different rules and regulations, but they're technically not the major aspect of our lives. So we can't make them the main part, and we can't neglect them. Right? Because then for us, that's going to be Niyamagraha. Why would that be the main part? In other words, why would Varnashram be the main part? Because, you know, we're not the body in this, we're engaging the conditioning. But to neglect it, then how do you engage in the Lord's service? How do you know what to do? I mean, it's fine if you're just going to sit and chant all day. But generally we find that those who are opposing to, you know, Varnashram and that, they're generally not sitting down and chanting all day. If someone is just all he does is go out and distribute books and do hard like this. They make this comment, yeah, fine, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Right? Because for them, they don't require. But who are they preaching to? They all require.
Yes.
Yeah, but they make, so that individual can make the comment. But if it's anybody else, what's their position? Right? Mm-hmm. So to neglect, that'll be Niyamagrahar. To take it that, no, without Varnashram, then there'll be no proper Krishna consciousness. That's also not understanding the use. So that's why it's there. We follow it nicely. You know? Does that make sense? It's either, okay, what is it? What's coming up? Eclipse, right? So your eclipse is, oh, if it's not visible here, it doesn't matter. It's as if nothing had happened at all. You don't even have to even consider it. On the other side is, oh, no, it starts 3 days before and 3 days after, and you got to stand on your head and poke your nose and do this and that and spin around in a circle, you know, and do all this and that. It's one or the other. It's always got to be Niyamagraha. What about just, you know, how much we've always done? You know, when it's time for that, you know, be careful of eating or sleeping or stay inside and do kirtan, Hari Bol. You know, if you go outside, then do kirtan. You know, what about that? No, you know, that's old fashioned. You know, we can't do those traditional things anymore. We have to be a fanatic one way or the other. You know, it's like that. You know, get with it. So that's the difficulty, is that this balance is not seen, is that the pure devotional service, that's the point. Now, you may not have so much realization, but that's what you're committed to. Right? Like it says, the Madhyama is not very advanced in Shastric knowledge. Right? And we see by definitions, they're considered an advanced devotee. Right?
It's mentioned, I think, in the verse when you read the Sanskrit, it mentioned Prema.
Yeah, you know, so the point is they just are not so...
I heard
Shastra yukte nahi jane dritha shradavan madhyama adhikari se mahabhagyavan. Rati prema taratamye bhakti taratama. It says attraction and love for Krishna, the ultimate goal. The degrees of such attraction and love distinguish the different stages. So any devotee, you know, has that sincerity, then they have some attraction and affection for Krishna.
Yes.
How much is there, then that defines their position.
Yes.
But that's a very nice definition. Because otherwise it's always taken, oh, you have absolutely nothing, or you have everything. You know, it's just, yeah. It's always so extreme. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Another point Srila Jiva Goswami mentions, I think in Bhakti Sandarbha, that the fine distinction between what we practice, which he calls Ajata Ruchi Raga Nuksaran Bhakti, which means now the external form is exactly the same as everybody else's Vaidisarana Bhakti.
Right.
But with the idea that we actually want to come to Rag,
yes.
Sarana.
Yes.
And others, they don't aspire for that. They're just happy with Vaiki, rules and regulation, and majesty at the end.
Yes.
So this is the fine difference between Gaudiya line and all others. So it has its own term. It means Raga Nuga Sarana without developed taste.
Yeah, without the rag, but the aspiration for it.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's why it's very important to that balance. That okay, if it's Raghunuga Bhakti, it's not that now we go out and, you know, howl at the moon or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's not that, oh, we don't hear, you know, people bring it up. Oh no, you know, it's like, you know, I say, you know, someone brings up anything to do with Raghunuga Bhakti, and they're, oh, Vishnu, you know, it's like, you know, it's not. You don't do that either, you know. So it's always a problem. These things is that we're always so extreme. But that's the point, is we know that we're following it and we'll get there because we're following it for rag. Other Vaishnavas are following it for majesty. And then the pious persons, they're following it for liberation or for, you know, fruit of results. And then they've got the idiots who avoid it. You know, and end up with some, you know, mundane social stuff, and nowadays they don't even get any sense gratification out of it. At least before they got something decent to eat or wear, you know, fine stuff and good stuff, and you know, now you get a frumpy cricket hat, you know, that's about as good as it gets. You know? Yeah.
Also, we were reading today in Jiva Dharma, the same topic is discussed with Madhyama, Uttama, and Kanishtha, and then the difference on the Kanishtha level is that some chant Nama Bas, but they accept the eternity of the Lord's form.
Yes.
And others, they chant also, but they don't believe in the Lord's form. So yes. Between those two, Madhyama preaches to the first and avoids the second.
Yes.
Which means Mayavadis, basically.
Yes.
Because they chant.
Which means everybody else.
They chant, but they don't believe in eternity of the Lord's form.
Yes.
So this is.
Because that makes the difference between Vaishnavas and just the material pious. You know, when they're performing these, you know, all these recommended activities. Because they worship the Lord, but they don't believe in the eternal form. So that's what we're saying, is that the smartest that worship Vishnu, they'll call themselves Vaishnavas, but they're technically not, because they don't accept the form's eternal. Yeah, no, it's very far out. Huh? The definitions are very nice and clear, and it's just a matter of which angle, because there's so many angles, then which one you're is appropriate for the situation, and then that's the term you use, and that's what you discuss. But they all go together. Because everything, you know, everything comes from Krishna, so therefore there's always going to be that idea that, you know, we're always worried about contradiction. But the point is there's Krishna and his energies. And so right there already, that's the origin of your contradiction. You know? Because you have the Lord, who is the origin of everything, then you have the energies which have originated in him, but the energies coming from the Lord are non-different. Mm-hmm. They're different, but they're non-different. That's where it comes from. So in the Lord, all contradictions are perfectly reconciled, because he's the source of everything. But once you, when you drop, if you take these two things and remove the Lord, now you have duality. Yes?
Srila Prabhupada beautifully described these two positions. He says the Lord is simultaneously transcendental and immanent, which means transcendental means personal, but immanent means impersonal. And in the Gita analysis, he explains what it is and where in the Gita it is mentioned when he acts as a person and then when he acts as a Paramatma and Brahma.
Oh, right. Yeah, because also he's pervading everything. Everything is, so even what we call material is him. Yeah. But at the same time, as he is the person, is transcendental. Yeah, so that's the point. All these contradictions are all originate in the Lord. And so the only way to reconcile them is connection with the Lord. So that's a hint that when you have issues and all that, then, you know, unless you bring the Lord into it, that he's the center of it, then only you can reconcile it. Otherwise, then you're dealing with details, and you know, of course, you know that. Of course, it's about Krishna, and then going on arguing on the detail, the point's being missed. Right. So here you see is that the Uttama is advanced, but you see is that at the same time it may not be so advanced in Shastric knowledge, but his firm faith in that he is fixed, like that. He's always has that taste for hearing and chanting, and that. So it's not a big deal he's not advanced in Shastric knowledge, because the gopis as Uttamas are not famous for Shastric knowledge. You know, that's what it says. You know, even though we know that they, how you say, when they come here, they do quite well. Yes, yes, exactly. But it's not that they're not pundits. They don't speculate. That's the whole thing. So here is they're not advanced in Shastric knowledge, but they're not speculating. So just because someone studies and speculates doesn't mean that they're advanced in Shastric knowledge. Because advanced means, you know, being able to see, you know, how you know everything's nicely connected to Krishna and everything like that. So they have that faith. You know, like you were saying before, the Vaidhi then has that faith that I'm doing this and I'm going to come to the platform of spontaneous devotional service. right? But that doesn't mean that that spontaneous devotional service, that it's not for that. Because others will say, oh, that's just vaidhi. But then they're not understanding. It says, if you're saying, oh, that's just vaidhi, on what basis are you saying, oh, that's just vaidhi? And there's a good chance to go back to the book. Well, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says this, and so therefore it is vaidhi. But their saying of that is vaidhi. Because someone on Rag wouldn't say that, literally. They'd be looking at it, no, but they're, you know, they like to serve, they like to do that. They'll look at the spontaneous stuff. So does that make sense? It's fine. Yeah. Yeah. So everything's on the same transcendental platform. None of them are mundane. So that's why then there's the aspect about preaching and this and that. Because otherwise, the materialists, then they're going to be mundane. But if there's that innocence that they're not opposed to the idea of hearing and chanting about the Lord, then they're cultivated. It just means that that time is ripe for the living entity to come in contact with. And those who are inimical and always that, then you just leave it for the time. Because after some time, it'll come around and there'll be other Vaishnavas will be there and they'll preach to them. Because whenever somebody becomes interested, Krishna puts them in contact. So, yeah. Yes?
Also, if we look at preaching, we know Madhvas, they don't preach. But Gaudiyas, they preach.
Yeah.
So we can say that the preaching is also part of developing Rag Bhakti, because it's given, you know, by Krishna in the Gita. He says in the 18th chapter that, you know, this very dear friend of mine, the one who preaches this knowledge to my devotees.
Yes.
And then Mahaprabhu here sends his representatives all over India to preach.
Yes.
So preaching, it's not for neophytes.
No.
Well, not only for neophytes.
Yes. No, it's the Madhyamas are supposed to, the Madhyamas generally what you see will lead that.
Yeah.
The neophytes, they act on that platform, whether their realization is there or not is another thing. But everybody acts as a Madhyama, whether you have that realization up to there or not. You know, it's another thing. The Uttamas come as Madhyamas, the neophytes act, do the duties of Madhyamas. And so then it works out nice. Yeah. 2:16:73-74. The following year, the inhabitants of Kalinagram again asked the Lord the same question. Hearing this question, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again taught them about the different types of Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if an observer immediately remembers the holy name of Krishna upon seeing a Vaishnava, that Vaishnava should be considered a Mahabhagavat, a first-class devotee. Such a Vaishnava is always aware of his Krishna-conscious duty, and he is enlightened in self-realization. So that's going to be one advantage, is that even representing, you know, the devotees go down the street, then the people, you know, they say, they start chanting because they're representing the pure devotee. Right? You see where we're going with this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So therefore, if they can't tell who you are, there's no chanting. So then, yeah. Such a Vaishnava is always aware of his Krishna conscious duty, and he is enlightened in self-realization. He is always in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and this love is without adulteration. Because of this love, he is always awake to transcendental realization. Right? Because the point is, who do you want to please? Lord Chaitanya or the, you know, general mass of karmis? You know, and especially the so-called intellectual, liberal ones. If they're so liberal, why can't they tolerate that we're wearing, you know, quote-unquote, Indian clothes? In fact, that means I would consider if they're intelligent and liberal, then they'd be inquisitive. Oh, who are these people? What's going on? But if they're turned off and all this, and they stand back and, you know, start doing this and all that, then they're in the fourth category that the Lord talks about. They're not the innocent. Yes.
It's just fresh because we read it again in Jiva Dharma. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that neophyte devotee, he's fascinated by technology and mundane people's achievement.
Yes, yes.
And
yes,
Madhyama just couldn't care less about their opinion. He just...
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, he minds his own relationship with the devotees and with the Lord.
Because today it's so important, and tomorrow, who cares? It's just like, what was it? I mean, what, a month ago or something was the Nobel Prizes and all that? Mm-hmm. Who's talking about it today? And no one will talk about it until next year when it comes out in the news and it's there for two or three days. And then after that, nobody could care less.
Election.
Huh? Election, yeah. But even now, no one talks much.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
It's the whole big and then there's no talk. Mm-hmm. Then I think what's the college meets in a few days and then there'll be some talk again and then, you know, it'll go away. Why get bothered? So, yes, that's why it's always interesting when Yukta Vairagya is always defined as, well, you use airplanes, you use smartphones and stuff like that. But then that gives a symptom that maybe there's some, what do you call it, you know, enamoration on those things.
Fascination.
Because otherwise, Yukta Vairagya starts with your body, senses, mind, intelligence, ego. That's where you start. These other things are a bit down the line. You know, how you say, you know, there's a Bhaktivinoda Thakur, my body, my mind, my words, my family, my money, my possessions. You know, all that. He doesn't start off with, you know, my plane tickets, my smartphone. He doesn't start there. So yes, that is part, but that's not the definition of Yukta Vairagya. So to take that as the definition, there must be fascination.
Or they don't have any other things.
They have a body, otherwise how are they talking? You know, how do you hold your... If you don't have a body, how do you hold your smartphone?
I take a wire to the...
Oh, okay, that, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Well, it's all on the smartphone. It's all on the smartphone nowadays.
Yeah. Yes.
All your friends.
Yes, all your friends. Because of this love, and his love is without adulteration. Because of this love, he is always awake to transcendental realization. Like, because you're always awake, because that affection, it's always about Krishna. So everything you see, you'll see it in context of Krishna. And then, according to your position, how you can use that or not use it in Krishna service. Right? Because he knows that Krishna consciousness is the basis of knowledge and action, he sees everything as being connected with Krishna. Yeah. Such a person is able to chant the holy name of Krishna perfectly. Such a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava has the transcendental eyes to see who is sleeping under the spell of Maya. And he engages himself in awakening sleeping conditioned souls by spreading the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. He opens eyes that are closed by forgetfulness of Krishna. Thus the living entity is liberated from the dullness of material energy and is engaged fully in the service of the Lord. The Madhyama Adhikari Vaishnava can awaken others to Krishna consciousness and engage them in duties whereby they can advance. It is therefore said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 6, verse 279. Loka ke yavat sparshi hema nahikare tavat sparsha mani keha chinite napare. One cannot understand the value of touchstone until it turns iron into gold. One should judge by action, not by promises. A Mahabhagavat can turn a living entity from abominable material life to the Lord's service. This is the test of a Mahabhagavat. Although preaching is not meant for a Mahabhagavat can descend to the platform of a Madhyama Bhagavat just to convert others to Vaishnavism. Actually, a Mahabhagavat is fit to spread Krishna consciousness, but he does not distinguish where Krishna consciousness should be spread from where it where Krishna consciousness should be spread from where it should not. He thinks that everyone is competent to accept Krishna consciousness if the chance is provided. A neophyte and intermediate devotee should always be eager to hear the Mahabhagavat and serve him in every respect. The neophyte and intermediate devotees can gradually rise to the platform of Uttamadhikari and become first-class devotees. Symptoms of a first-class devotee are given in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45. Sarva bhuteshu yas yah pashyed bhagavad bhavam atmanaha bhutani bhagavat yatman yesha bhagavatottama. The most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees systematically everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. Right, so everything's related to the Lord, everything's situated in the Lord. Mm-hmm. So it's not just it's just related. It's and what's the point? It's situated in the Lord. Therefore, that's why it's all connected. And so everything then that Krishna gives is all about the Lord. Right. When teaching Sanatana Goswami, the Lord further said, Shastra Yuktye Shunipuna Dridha Shraddha Yara Uttama Adhikari Se Taraye Samsara. One who is expert in Vedic literature and has full faith in the Supreme Lord is an Uttamadhikari, a first-class Vaishnava, a topmost Vaishnava who can deliver the whole world and turn everyone to Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 22.65. With great love and affection, the Mahabhagavat observes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotional service, and the devotee. He observes nothing beyond Krishna. Right? So the Lord, the devotional service, and the devotee, because devotional service is the connection between the Lord and the devotee. Like that. So he sees all three. He observes nothing beyond Krishna, Krishna consciousness, and Krishna's devotees. The Mahabhagavat knows that everybody is engaged in the Lord's service in different ways. He therefore descends to the middle platform to elevate everyone to the Krishna consciousness position. So that, yeah.
It's interesting that most of the time, it seems to be the younger devotees who bring people to Krishna consciousness as an initial step. The more mature devotees may solidify the faith, but it's most of the time it's the young devotees who are out there who bring people.
Yeah, well, that because it says that they can, the Madhyama and the Madhyama can create faith in others. Neophyte can bring them to the same level that they are.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, having that element of faith that they can instill. But whether they can get them, you know, very well situated in Bhajana Kriya and all, that's another. The Madhyama will be able to do that better.
I think the initial enthusiasm of new devotees what attracts people.
Yes, that's that. That freshness is there. But that freshness can also be continued, because you do see devotees that do continue that. You know, like you have devotees that have been doing book distribution the last 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. You know, without fail, just regular, stable, steady, like that. So all these things can be done. It's just a matter of also then along with it, the culture and all that. So if they're simple enough where they don't get into very much, and they just what was kind of like the lifestyle that you'd see back in the 60s, 70s. Generally, you see they can continue very nicely because they don't they have a culture to go with their Krishna consciousness. But if someone doesn't accept the tradition and all that, then they're going to have to work with whatever is their conditioning, and then that's not actually that inspiring. You know, people are looking for something different. This whole movement that no, we have to be exactly the same as them, then they'll follow us. That's like, you know, how you say, that's not very, those making those comments aren't observing very well. People are looking for uniqueness and difference because what they're doing is not making them happy. So why would they go to someone else who's doing the same as them? So that's the interesting thing. But yes, they have that enthusiasm in that. And if that's cultivated in that, that can keep going. So that's why I said that senior devotee should be cultivating and seeing that others are coming up to the standard. Then if that focus on pure devotional service is maintained, then that enthusiasm can continue and develop, and also all other aspects of this, the Sankirtana can develop. But if that purity is not maintained, karma can't do it. Just because you're good at managing, just because you know which quadrant something's happening in, cannot on its own advance devotional service. It won't ensure the purity of, because purity is the force, not professionalism. Right? Now, if you can properly use that professional in Krishna service, because that's your nature, then that's fine. That's wonderful. Like we saw before, as Prabhupada's talking about, these devotees who are professional and all those kind of things like that. And so then they do, but you can see the devotional aspects. You don't hear weird philosophies. You know, you don't hear pranamoy stuff, you know, like that. They appear, but when you talk, then you see pure devotion. So that point of preaching to the devotees, then that's very important, because preaching to the devotees means you're keeping them so on the path so that they nicely advance. And also Prabhupada expected that it was also that, you know, your general devotees would be the ones that would go out and deal with the karmis. You know, the senior ones would deal with the devotees. Like the GBC and all that, you know, the sannyasis, like this, they would deal with the devotees. You know, like the president, he deals with the devotees. The devotees go out. Because if they're properly Krishna conscious, then they can have that effect. So, you know, it's like the principle of those from here are the ones that come and preach here. You know, because they'll make it relevant for the person.
It seems that one of the main things is to keep the focus on pure devotional service.
Keep the focus on pure devotional service. Yes, that's the whole point.
If the focus is kept, automatically there is enthusiasm, there is depression,
determination. Yes, yes.
But if the focus is not kept,
it goes then somewhere else and it'll be lost. So that's the whole point in when you make an institution, and in the institution you're going to have all the structure and the hierarchy and all that. It's to maintain the purity of focus on pure devotion,
yes.
Not something else. If people are enthusiastic, it's easier to manage.
Yes.
You know, it's just like you have that, what is it called? That one, I'm not sure who it was. It was Alexander, it's one of those. There was some big battle coming up. They had something like 10,000 men or something like that. And he had like 900. Mm-hmm. Like that. And so then, you know, then they were saying what to do, this, that. So he said, you know, call all the men down to the river. And, you know, we'll decide what to do. So they all came down to the river, and one by one, because they had been marching and all this, they said, you know, they can all go and drink water. And he sat there. And after they drank water, then, you know, it was, you know, he did the, you know, this side, that one, you know, that kind of stuff. And so then afterwards, and all the ones on one side, he says, you all go home, take care of your families, take care of everything in the village, right? And the ones that were left, which was the smaller group, then they said, okay, prepare, we're going to fight. And so then the commander in that was, well, you have less men, don't we need every man? He says, no. He says, because when we went onto the water like that, the ones that put down their sword and drank water and stuff like that, then you know, for them, the drinking water was more important.
Yes.
Says
yes.
The ones that I kept are the ones, they kept their sword, they'd look around and then put their face in the water and then drink and then keep looking, you know, like that. So that was the one. So he says, we'll do, one of these is worth 10 of those. So if you have the purity, then so much can be done. Because the thing is, so much was done and people were not expert managers. And now that they're, you know, so nice and they get degrees and go to school and do all this and that, and it's like, what's happening? So that's the whole point, is bhakti comes from bhakti, not from something else. means you have the Lord, all functions of the soul are directed to the Lord. All the natural functions of the soul are meant to be directed towards the Lord. And bhakti is the master of all these functions of the soul. So whatever the soul does, that's actually, that can do, that's all under the purview of the authority of bhakti. So if it's not in line with bhakti, it has no value. I mean, it's just like literally, who cares? You know? It'd be just like this. Let us say, for example, let us say, you know, as you're talking about the infatuation that you were talking about before.
Fascination.
Let's say we have someone is a PhD in Formula One racing.
Yeah.
Right? He can tell you all the guys and who did this and who won this and that, what car they won, what ride, but can the guy race? No. So then why would you ask him? Why do we care? So what? There's probably an 8-year-old driving a go-kart that's way more knowledgeable than him, that can tell you actually what to do. How do you pass the guy? So that's the thing, is that why should we be so impressed? Quoting from Krishna Kshetra Maharaj, PhD means piled high and deep. And what he's talking about is cow dung. Yes?
As in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the famous verse, Tadvidi Pranipatana, and then at the end, it says, Gyani Nastatva Darshana.
Yes.
So it's not only Gyan, but it should be Vigyan.
Yes, yes.
Means by practice, that devotee who realized, who have that darshan,
yes,
then he can teach others.
Yes.
Otherwise, theory, as you mentioned, so many people write and they know theory.
Yeah.
But in terms of vijnana, zero. It's nothing.
You know, it's just like you said, the others, they know theory, but the Gaudiyas, then they practically apply it. Yeah, so it's important to understand. It means you're always going to respect someone who has knowledge and education, or has a position in political power, or who has wealth, you know, in the economic field, or has some skill. That's always going to be respected, because it's all Krishna's vibhuti. So you're always going to respect. Etiquette's there. But we can't be fascinated. Because it's Krishna's energy. The amount they're showing, how great is that compared to what Krishna's pastimes were? You know, nice. If they're using Krishna's service, great. But if they're not, who cares? It's just a blip. It comes up and it disappears. It's like, you know, it's like the waves in the river. You see the wave and it's gone. It just disappears. So there must be that conviction that it's not, but that because then if you have that, you can nicely approach them and talk to them. But otherwise, if you're fascinated by it, you can't. You're too awed by them. You know, they're so great and all that. And I've even seen is that you have guys like this, and they invite them for a very specific thing that they know. You know, they're a professional in area, and because they're so fascinated by that, they start asking them questions within how to run the Krishna consciousness movement, when this guy wouldn't have a clue. He doesn't even know how to run his own life. Did you ask him how is it going with his family? No. So that's the whole thing. We have to be very, very careful there. You have to know these things. Krishna, through the modes of nature, gives people, and that's why it's wonderful, because Krishna gives them that. They perform the activity according to Krishna's laws, and Krishna's giving them a result. It's not that they got that on their own. You know, the same books, and one guy's a PhD, the same books, and somebody's a dropout. You know, what's it got to do with the system? Right? And that there is education for children, where did that come from? It came from Krishna. It's a Vedic system.
What
Did we finish that paragraph?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're on 216, 75 to 78. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the distinctions between different types of Vaishnavas. The Vaishnava, Vaishnava Tara, and Vaishnava Tama. That's far out. He thus successively explained all the symptoms of a Vaishnava to the inhabitants of Kulinagram.
Kulinagram is on the west side from Ranagar.
Okay.
If you are going to Vardhama, it comes exactly in between.
The Bardhaman means that way. So yeah. Between Ranagar, if you go towards the Ganga. But it's on this side of the Ganga or the other side?
The other side of the Ganga.
Okay, so in line with Ranagar down there, that's Kulinagram. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
It seems that it is quite famous for the devotees, this place, Kulinagram.
Yes, yes. Well, Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya said even a dog there is dear. I mentioned that story that the Sankirtan bus stopped and there was a dog there and one of the devotees got out and hugged the dog because they're dear to Lord Chaitanya. So, okay, why not? This Vaishnava, Vaishnava Tara, and Vaishnava Tama.
Vaishnava Tama means the best. Vaishnava Tara means better.
Oh, Vaishnava, Vaishnava Tara, and Vaishnava Tama.
Good, better, best.
Okay. Okay, very good. Yes. Finally, all the Vaishnavas returned to Bengal, but that year Pundarik Vidyanidhi remained at Jagannath Puri. Swarup Damodar Goswami and Pundarik Vidyanidhi had a friendly, intimate relationship. And as far as discussing topics about Krishna, they were situated on the same platform. Pundarik Vidyanidhi initiated Gadadhar Pandit for the second time. And on the day of Odan Shasti, Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw the festival. Srila Prabhupada. At the beginning of winter, there's a ceremony known as Odana Shasti. Right? This year comes on the 20th. So it's been cool, but I think after the 20th, it'll start to cool a little bit more.
Yes.
A touch more. I mean, now it's been around, 15, 16 or something? Then it might get down 10, 12. But, it'll start going that way. That 10, 12 is middle of January. Vasant Panchami means the day starts warming up, the morning still stays cold, and the morning lags behind. Because the day warms up, it still feels, even though it's a little, it still feels as cold because the distance is, it's like now the day's cold, the morning's more cold, so you don't notice it as much. You know what I'm saying? But when the day is hot and the morning's cold, then you see the difference. So even the festival is hot during the day, but the mornings still feel cold.
What's the fall
key or
something there?
The fall, after Odan Shasti?
No. Later.
Oh, later. Okay. Well, when it goes into winter, you shouldn't get it.
Waiting for that moment?
Waiting for that. And then when that comes, and waiting for it to warm up. When it warms up, waiting for it to cool down.
Waiting for something.
Waiting, always waiting. So if you're just waiting for receiving Krishna's mercy, then that's good. Okay. This ceremony indicates that from that day forward, a winter covering should be given to Lord Jagannath. That covering is directly purchased from a weaver. According to the Archana Marg, a cloth should first be washed to remove all the starch, and then it can be used to cover the Lord. Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw that the priest neglected to wash the cloth before covering Lord Jagannath. Since he wanted to find some fault in the devotees, he became indignant. Udriti, Adilila 10:14 purport. In the Gauranga Deepika 54, Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi is described as the father of Srimati Radharani in Krishna Lila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore treated him as his father. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Pundarik Vidyanidhi father, and he gave him the title of Premanidhi. Pundarika Vidyanidhi later became the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit and an intimate friend of Sri Damodar's. Gadadhar Pandit at first misunderstood Pundarik Vidyanidhi to be an ordinary pounds and shillings man, but later, upon being corrected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became his disciple. Stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.